Man, God is good. He's been here this morning. I felt His presence already. Amen? Well, as many of you know, on August 15th of 2010, God saw fit to call me to come and pastor Hillcrest Baptist Church. And it is an awesome privilege. I love being here and I love Hillcrest. But it was at that point, maybe a little bit before, I became a student of Hillcrest Baptist Church. And I have grown to know a lot of things about this church. I've heard the, and now know well, the wonderful story of how this church was founded. And we talked about that a lot back when we were getting ready to build our Family Life Center, and how God miraculously birthed the church right here on Hoover Street, knowing exactly what He wanted to do. And I've come to realize how loving this body is and how God has called many out of this body. There have been many who have been sent out of Hillcrest, and what a missional mindset this church has had from the beginning. And these flags are a testimony to that all around the room. And I've come to know the love of the people here, how they really love each other and they really truly love this community and love to see people saved. I've also come to understand how I stand on the shoulders of some great people, some godly men who came before me, who stood on the Word of God and guided this church through some very tenuous times and have been champions for the faith. And one of those men is a man named Fred Bobe. And I am so proud that Fred is here today and so glad he's here. I've gotten to know him over the years and I love him as a brother and I just appreciate his ministry. Still going strong in my hometown at Grace Baptist Church in Richland, Missouri. And I just love his energy and his enthusiasm. But most of all, I love his heart for the Lord. So would you please welcome now Brother Fred Bobe as he comes to share.
Nice pulpit. It's the right height. It hasn't changed since I went out and picked it out. But a lot of things have changed. But I thank God, as I look out here, I thank God for David. I really do. We're not in competition. We're in cooperation. You know, I shared with him, I'm not going to spend a lot of time reminiscing. It'd be hard. I'm nervous. I've preached to bigger crowds, but not better crowds. I think one of the reasons is because we get to where we think, what am I going to say? I did some figures. In the years that I was here, I stood before the congregation, Hillcrest Baptist Church, almost 1,700 times. 48 weeks out of the year because the church allowed me a couple of weeks of vacation and four revivals. 3 times a week, that's 1,692 times, plus weddings, funerals, devotions, special events. What have I got to say that you haven't heard before? That's one of the things that grip my heart. How can I come before this congregation and bring them something that they have not heard before? I got to think, and I'm not the only one that stood behind this pulpit that many times. Your pastor here is racking up some good scores. It isn't what I have to say, but what God has to say to you that counts. I don't have to impress you. A lot of you know that about me anyhow. I remember somebody said when we were building this building, they said, oh, this will be Fred Bobe's church. And I said, yep. In about 10 years, somebody will say, who was that little Puerto Rican preacher we had that ran around here? It is not what I do. It is what God does. A little over 23 years ago, it looked like I wasn't going to do much. A year of chemotherapy, 53 chemo treatments taught me something. I've only got that much time. I don't know how much that is. Somebody greeted me and said, preacher, you're getting old. I'll be 77 in June. That's not old. Look at Moses. How long are you going to keep at this? I hope till the trumpet sounds. I was wondering what kind of a message. I want to thank Taylor. She blessed my heart because she took care of what my message was. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm going to skip the reminiscing now, and hopefully we'll have time this week. But I wanted to get into God's Word. That's why I'm here. If you'll open your Bibles to John's Gospel, the first chapter and the 29th verse, I'm going to ask you to do something that I have done as far back as I can remember. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer. John's Gospel, the first chapter, the 29th verse. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you this morning, Lord, asking you to speak to our hearts. I'm asking, Lord God, that you anoint your speaker, but also that you anoint the ears of the hearers. That, Father, I might be put behind the cross and that you might be lifted up and glorified as we behold the Lamb of God. I thank you for Hillcrest Baptist Church and I ask you to bless it, Lord God. I ask you to continue blessing David and to lead, guide, and direct him in his ministry here. But for this moment now, Lord God, I'm asking, just let me feel your presence and your power and speak through me, O Lord. Again, we ask that you glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist had been preaching, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrins, all of them, they're not really too happy with him. As a matter of fact, when I get into the scripture a little bit, you're going to find out that most people are not happy with anybody that preaches about Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if you noticed, if you haven't noticed, you've not been paying attention, they are trying to eliminate Christianity. They don't care if we speak about God, but they don't want us to speak about Jesus. But when you speak about Jesus, you're speaking about God. And we live in a society today that is trying to wipe out Christianity because Christianity, they say, we're not inclusive, yet for God so loved the world, he included everyone. Anyone who wants to come to God can come to God, but they must come to God through the Lamb of God. There's no other way. I want to share with you that as I took a look at this scripture and was reading it, you know, he says, Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus was crucified when the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed at the same time. He was on the cross when the nation was celebrating the Passover. He was on the cross. He was the lamb provided by God for the sins of the world. And there's no question about this. I went the other day and had the privilege of going to see that God Is Not Dead 2. And if you haven't seen it, I recommend you go see it. It's great. There's no question as to whether or not Jesus Christ lived. There's no question about that. There's no question as to whether or not he was crucified. There's no question as to whether or not he rose from the dead. The question isn't whether or not he is God. The question is whether or not you accept him as God. Yeah. He doesn't have to answer. As a matter of fact, it won't be long before we'll have to answer. That taketh away the sin. It's kind of interesting. When I first became a Christian, I had a lot of questions. Why would God want a blood sacrifice? Well, that was one of the big ones for me. Why a blood sacrifice? Well, new in the faith, and the first Bible I ever had actually was a New Testament that sat in my footlocker when I was in the army. I wouldn't open that book. Man, that was the Protestant book. That's the reason I didn't understand why a blood sacrifice. After I got to studying the Word of God, there's a scripture in Leviticus when it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and therefore I have required it upon the altar for the remission of sins. There's scripture in the New Testament, you've heard it over and over again, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The reason that it took a blood sacrifice was because our sins are committed in the flesh and the life of the flesh is in the blood. And only about 500 years ago, doctors discovered this, because up until then, they were putting leeches on people that were sick and bleeding them. But you know, it's kind of interesting, and I know I've shared that here before, but that's okay. There's so many new faces. I can share this now. You apply a tourniquet to your arm. If you've cut your wrist, you apply a tourniquet to your arm. I know one fellow shaved himself and cut his face, and his wife wanted to put the tourniquet around his neck. But we know that if you don't open that tourniquet in 15 to 20 minutes, the arm dies because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yet, 1700 years before Christ, that was recorded in the Word. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and so he required a blood sacrifice. If you remember, the sacrificial system that was set up by God required that they bring a lamb without spot. Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who never sinned. That's what's hard for people to wrap around, is that he never sinned. Jesus was God, and he came in the image of man. And he walked and talked and lived and ate and drank all of these things, breathed air, just like any mortal human being, and never sinned against God. We won't make it through today. And it's by the grace of God that he keeps us saved. Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin. How does he take it away? He takes it away through that sacrifice that he made on that cross. That was another thing, you know, it was hard for me because I had been raised with the sacraments of the church and everything else. And let me tell you something, there's no saving grace in sacraments. There's only saving grace in Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. You know, it's a miracle that he chose to save us. You're all lucky I'm not God. I'm luckier than you're not. Yeah. He looked at us with the compassion that only God can have. Oh man, I tell you, I don't have enough time. I don't know how much time I do have. I'll take these off so I don't see the clock. Listen to me. He takes away the sins of the world. When he was crucified, he didn't just take the sins of today. And he didn't just take the sins of yesterday. But he took the sins of tomorrow upon himself. And he that knew no sin became sin and was crucified. Well, I love having a cross up there. I love that. He was crucified. He died for all sin, past, present, and future. That's why we have eternal security. I want you to notice the scripture says, behold. Men don't want to see the truth. And when I say men, I'm not speaking about the male species. I'm speaking about the human species does not want to see their sin. We have sin going on. Listen, we have legalized a lot of sin. There are some churches that are condoning sin. I'm not condemning, but I'm not going to condone. Only God. I leave the condemning to Him. But I will not condone, nor will I say what is wrong is right. I will not say what is evil is good. There's a article that was written about a missionary who went over and was speaking to a Hindu priest. And the Hindu priest was reluctant to eat anything with living cells. Would eat no meat. And so the missionary pointed out to him in a microscope that the water that he was drinking had living cells in it. And when he looked in the microscope and saw the living cells in the water, you know what he did? He smashed the microscope because the microscope revealed to him that what he was doing was wrong if he believed he should not eat living cells. You see, that is the nature of man. When somebody reveals to us that we're doing something wrong, rather than to admitting we're wrong, we want to smash the one who reveals that we're wrong. That's why they crucified Jesus, was because he was the light of the world, and in the light, people could see their sinfulness. I'll tell you what, if you really want to become humble, just put yourself at the feet of Jesus. When somebody tells you that they're humble, they've already blew it. We are proud. It is our nature. We are proud. But when we come into the presence of God, we are overwhelmed. I've always heard these people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to run up and ask Jesus. When you get to heaven, you're going to fall down on your face. The holiness of God is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. He was to be the final sacrifice for our sins. And in Hebrews 10:12 it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I want you to understand that in the sacrificial system, the priest did it over and over and over and over and over and over again. I remember I brought my nephew by to take him on a tour here not too long ago, and we were going through the church, and I reminded him when he was 7 years old, he asked me, he said, Uncle Fred, how did you used to get saved? Well, I didn't really understand what he was talking about, because I understood what being redeemed was, but not saved. And I said, well, I used to go to confession on Saturday night, and then I would fast at midnight, and then on Sunday morning I would go and I would receive communion, and then again, you know, next week I'd go back to confession on Saturday and fast and go receive communion. And 7 year old, backseat of the car, looked up and he said, well, seems to me, Uncle Fred, if you did it right one time, that'd be enough. If you do it right, once is enough. Yeah, you see, it says here, he's the final sacrifice. There's no substitute for our sins other than the blood. If you remember in 1 Corinthians there, where Paul wrote, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and rose the third day according to the scriptures. You see, we have to follow the scriptures. The Bible makes it very clear in Acts 4:12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Behold the Lamb of God. What should we do? I've had people say, well, Brother Fred, how does a person get saved? Well, you know, I know the Romans Road and several other paths that we use and everything else, but it's kind of amazing to me that God usually takes a shortcut when the person's right. When they're ready, you don't need to worry about what to say. God will give it to you. But I want to share this with you. Jesus said in John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And then in John 12:32, he said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Over 40 years of my preaching, I have never saved a soul. Not one. But Jesus has saved a bunch of them. When the children of Israel grew weary going through the wilderness, they started to talk against God. You know, I've heard people blame God for everything. Shouldn't blame him, you should praise him. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The trouble is, some people don't love the Lord, so they want to blame him. All suffering is the result of man's sin, not God's grace. So the children of Israel, they got to complaining and talking about God and talking about Moses. You know, be careful about talking about your pastor. God got mad. And he sent serpents to punish the people. And it's written that, you know, when they were in the wilderness, that anyone who was bitten by the snake would die. So people started dying. Then all of a sudden they want to get right with God. You know what? It might take something very serious to happen to the United States to bring this country back on its knees before God. And if that's what it takes, that's what he'll do. But I want to share this with you. You know, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived." It's kind of interesting that God took the image of the cause and made it the instrument of the cure. The cause of death was the snake. So he took an image of the snake, put it on a pole, and made it the cure. The cause of our death is sin. Adam sinned. So God came in the image of man. And we raised him up, and the image of the cause became the instrument of the cure. If I be lifted up is what he said. I remember going to a convention one time, and a little black preacher got up and he said something that has stuck with me, and it's made an impression upon me. And they asked him, they said, "Well, 70% of your church is white and you're black. Does that not make a difference?" He said, "Oh, no, no." He said, "I just lift up Jesus Christ so high they don't see me." Look. Don't look on the preacher. Don't look on the church. That's another fault. People come and they say, "Well, all those hypocrites in the church, you can spend an hour or two with them on Sunday or eternity in hell. It doesn't make any difference." Not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of people that they're looking at in the church really don't know Christ. You know, it amazes me after all of these years still that there are times you'll be preaching and someone who's been a member of the church for years gets up and comes down. They never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, but they joined the church. Some of them were even baptized. Carolyn has suggested that we pull the plug in the baptism and check the plumbing and see if any of them are still in there, because after they were baptized, we never saw them. Look on Jesus. When you go to looking at the church, or looking at us, we're poor representations of Christ. I'm not even close. Your pastor is not close. We can be close to the Lord, but we cannot replace him, nor are we substitutes for him. Only Jesus saves. What should you do? Look to Jesus. Look and live. That's what the people were told. Look and live. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I know if I look back there that, although it's not real clear, I can still see that the hands are closer together, but I can read up close good, but the distance, when I take my glasses off, I really shouldn't take them off because I can't tell if you're sleeping or you're just agreeing. And it's good because I like to come down and sit next to someone who's sleeping. It's amazing. You don't need to go anyplace. You can be saved anywhere. You don't have to do anything special. When you come to realize that Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and came and dwelt among us. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that if you want to be saved, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, there are a lot of people who want to accept Him as a Savior. If you won't accept Him as your Lord, He won't be your Savior. A lot of people want the benefits of Christianity. You must become a servant of God. You must surrender to His Lordship. I think one of the big misteachings that there is that becoming a Christian is going to end all of your troubles, all of your sorrows, everything's going to be taken away. No, it doesn't work that way. Just what they did to Jesus is what Jesus as His followers can expect for them. He said, if they did this to me, what do you think's in it for you? But it's an amazing thing. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and you allow Him to come into your life and you allow Him to take control, all of a sudden the Word becomes alive. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey folks, you see that set of drums over there? That reminds me of something. I have stage fright. Yeah, I played those things when I was a junior high. And one day they put them on a platform. And all of a sudden, I could see everybody looking at me, and it scared the living daylights out of me. I went and changed my high school major from music to auto mechanics and went to Chelsea Vocational High School in New York, got on a creeper under the car rather than on a stage in front of people. Amazing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I said, Lord, are you sure calling me to preach? Look, there are so many people more qualified than I am. He's the qualification, not you. There are probably someone present even right now who's wondering, what does God have for me to do? I'll tell you what He has for you to do. Look, submit, and do what He tells you to do. You'll never be happier. The music this morning, when? There's no satisfaction in anything in this life other than serving God. So let me come to the close of this. Why should we behold Him? Because if you don't behold Him now, you'll behold Him then. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, And they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Kind of interesting, I shared just a minute ago, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, that the word of God makes it clear. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done mighty works, you know. Listen. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, a lot of people are professing to be Christians that aren't Christians. Don't look at the people. Don't look at the preacher. Behold Christ, the Lamb, sacrificed from the foundations of the earth. God knew that he was going to save us. He knew who would receive him. If you don't behold him now, you'll behold him then. Revelations 14:10 says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord, the Lamb of God. He saith unto me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You see, there's a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto damnation, and everyone is going to be in one or the other. There is no middle of the road. No middle of the road. You either choose God and have eternal life, or you reject him and have eternal suffering. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. You must be born again. You hear these words. Let me simplify this and I'll close. You're born once physically. You will die physically. But if you're born again spiritually, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. To be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. Yeah. Very simple, it amounts to this. You either accept or reject Jesus Christ. You either behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, or you reject him. You see, the reason the world doesn't want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the scripture has revealed it, because when we accept him, we start to walk in the light, and the light reveals what's going on in darkness. Evil hates the light, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Yeah. So you're here today for whatever reason, whatever brought you here to this church, whatever it was, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to ask you right now to examine your heart. Where do you stand before God? Don't worry about anything else. Where do you stand before God? What is your relationship with him? Do you have him as your Lord and Savior? And listen to me, if you're still confused about what the process is of salvation, this pastor, myself, and many of the deacons and some of the people in this church be more than willing to stay behind. The most important thing about these meetings is that somebody might come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I'll be speaking about revival a little bit, but right now, I'm speaking about salvation. Are you really saved? You know, if you have doubts about it, you need to get it straight. You will never be an effective servant of the Lord when you're doubting your salvation. Here again, the pastor, myself, there are others that be willing to help you to know. Some of you are here, maybe you're looking for a church. I appreciate what this pastor said. I thank Hillcrest Baptist Church. It's here where I cut my teeth on the Word of God. often joke, Carolyn, myself, Doug, and Sheila were all baptized where the sink is in that other building over there. And you won't find us in the plumbing. No. Will you give your heart and life to Christ? Christian, will you serve him with a passion? Altars, very rarely used in church anymore. I remember somebody going out to church one time and said, "Preacher, there shouldn't have been a soul left in their seat. They should have been at that altar." And the amazing thing was, they were not at the altar. I want you to behold the Lamb today. I want you to behold the Lamb. Pastor, you come up here with me, brother. This is the pastor of your church. There is no doubt in my mind, none whatsoever, just in the time that I've spent with him, that his ambition is to win souls for Christ. We're here. If you need to come, we want you to come. If you're lost and need Christ as your Savior, why will you put it off? Why will you gamble with that? Why would you take the chance of entering into eternity without Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And Christian, if you really want revival, we're going to have to give something. Self. Self. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then, brother, I want you to take the invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, for sending Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, that even right now, Father, you might touch our hearts. Convict us and convince us, Lord God, of the importance, Lord God, of revival, but also, Father, the importance of salvation. Lord, let us pray for those that are lost. Let us be concerned. And Father, we pray that you use this time to draw people unto yourself as we have lifted up Christ and him crucified as the only hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've heard a powerful message today. Some of the most powerful words in Scripture from John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You need that today? You need freedom from bondage in your life? You need to make a commitment today. Do you need to just come to this altar and pray? We want to see revival in our church, in our community, in our land. We are thirsty for revival. We need revival so desperately. But you know what it says is very true. Revival begins in me. Let revival begin during this invitation. Brother, lead us. We're going to sing Purify My Heart, wonderful revival song. Please stand together. Please use this altar if you need to come for any reason. Come speak to me or to Brother Fred.